Welcome to the Landlord Diaries, where we talk about midterm rentals and the opportunities behind them. We'll share landlord stories, talk about maximizing investment potential, and discuss how to live the very best landlord life. This podcast is proudly brought to you by Furnished Finder, the leader and largest online marketplace for midterm rentals. Remember to like and subscribe if you enjoy our content.
We are here with another great episode of The Landlord Diaries. It's your host, Kelly Bailey and Katie Lyon, coming to you from the Furnished Finder marketing team and midterm rental hosts ourselves. Katie, what do we have today?
Today we get to talk with Seb, who has scaled to 44 units with, like, since 2019, I believe. He's done it with a management model. So started with arbitrage, and then he shifted over and he's partnering with these apartment buildings in a management model. So he's created such a unique approach. He has beautiful, beautiful designs and listings. And he also is very thoughtful about his processes and how he organizes his business. And we talk a lot about different ways that you can improve your systems. And we actually talk a lot about design and how you can still have great design and stay on a budget. So that was probably one of my favorite parts about this conversation, because we all had little different tips and internet hacks that we use to, you know, make a property beautiful on a budget. So please enjoy this. Please, if you are finding our show helpful, share it with some friends or other landlords that you think might also get some benefit from it. And we hope this is something that helps you become the best landlord that you can possibly be.
Today, we will be talking with Sebastian Long, the founder and CEO of Lodger in Houston, Texas. Seb has 45 impeccably designed units on Furnished Finder across 5 complexes, with hundreds in the pipeline. Lodger has hosted over 7,000 guests, and all his units are primarily used as 30-plus day furnished midterm rentals. Seb, thank you so much for being with us today to tell your story. How are you?
Hi, I'm great. Thank you.
Awesome. Well, let's jump into the first question. 45 impeccably designed units. Those don't just poof appear out of air. So do you own, arbitrage, manage? How did you get into the furnished rental business, and how did you acquire these listings?
Yeah, so the listings right now are primarily a management model. We do have a few lease arbitrage units. And in terms of how I got into this, I guess my family were in hospitality. They've been in hospitality 41 plus years. They have a small vacation resort in France. So I grew up, immersed with that. Started working for my parents as soon as they'd let me in my teens, basically, and continued doing that through school. And, you know, then, like a lot of entrepreneurs, they said, you should get a real job. And so I went to work for a bank for a number of years, traveling the world, living in corporate housing often. So I was a user, I guess, of midterm furnished rental products. And then I did some work for a company called Sonda, the big short-term rental company. Back then, they were much smaller, and I helped them launch the UK market. So I started to become more familiar, I guess, with the urban rental arbitrage model and how that worked. And so when I moved to the US, that's what I decided to do, that I would launch my own company, Lodger, more focused on short-term rentals back then when we launched in 2019. And initially everything was rental arbitrage, because it was a pretty easy way to get, to get into the business back then.
All right. So would you explain to us the difference between arbitrage and, like you said, a management model? Because I'm guessing that's something that a lot of our listeners aren't familiar with.
Mm-hmm. So I guess the management model is pretty common, both, I guess, in the hotel industry and the vacation rental management industry, where the owner essentially may not have, I guess, the skill set in house to manage their asset as a short term or midterm rental. But at the same time, you as an operator may not want to have the liabilities of paying rent every month. So in our model, we partner with the buildings, and essentially, you could consider it like a variable rent, where we don't have a fixed rent to pay. Yes, we do have a payment obligation, but that's calculated more like a management model where it's on a percentage basis of the revenues that are being produced. And on some of the projects, there's also going to be participation in the setup costs. And we have different ways to sort of recoup that. Our ideal scenario, of course, is we work with a building from the early days and they have a budget for furnishings and it's all kind of built in. But usually the building's already existing. There may not be any capital available. So we have different ways where we can manage it. So they don't have to put any money up front and we'll recoup it over a certain amount of time.
So really these buildings or properties are furnishing the units, or they want to have some furnished units, but then you're serving as the operator if they don't have the know-how or the ability to do so.
Correct. So it's really a turnkey service for them. We'll create, market, and manage a flexible living proposition for them. They give us the keys and we send them money every month.
Love it.
And how did you choose the locations in Houston, Texas, where you are, the complexes that you've partnered with?
Yeah, so I guess in terms of locations, a good kind of rule of thumb is see what hotels are around and if there's any extended stay hotels. Basically, what kinds of places do people want to visit if they're either visiting for fun or for work? So right now, our locations are in the downtown, midtown, medical center corridor. They're all pretty close to sort of each other. And so our midtown location is going to attract some people who need to go to the med center, be it for medical treatment or travel nurses and other medical professionals. And then similar is also going to catch some of the people who are going to downtown who have a more traditional job maybe. And those are also close for tourism locations. So when Taylor Swift was in town and Beyonce, we also captured some of that market.
Love it. So, Seb, we can all hear your wonderful accent.
Yes.
And I see here in our notes that hospitality or rentals are a little bit different across the pond. So tell us a little bit about that and how you've carried that over to help your business, you know, on this side.
Yeah, so I remember just before COVID hit in 2020, I was back in the UK, and I'd been touring a lot of apartment communities, and we'd go to see the model unit, and because these are nice Class A buildings, you know, maybe 400 units, and so they have a nicely designed model unit. I'd be talking to the leasing agent, and they were saying to me, "Oh, you wouldn't believe how often people ask if they can rent the model unit." And we sort of realized, well, we kind of have model units already and you can rent them immediately if you want for any length of time. And so when COVID hit and all the short-term travelers had disappeared, we needed to find more people to fill our units. And that's really when we started to lean into the midterm rental market and to make that our priority. And one thing that's quite different to the UK, particularly in large city markets like London. So when you rent property, it's usually fully furnished already and you don't necessarily have to sign a 12-month commitment. So we already had more flexibility like that in our market. And it just seemed crazy that, you know, here in the US, if you're renting a property, you need to have your own furniture and move it around. And there's also all kinds of challenges. I mean, it's a pain. It's also not a very sustainable way to sort of live. So we think it's easier to move people rather than furniture.
Definitely. Even our washer dryers, like it's not even common to have a washer dryer come with your unit. It's like, lug that thing around and why don't you tear up my property a little bit on your way in?
You know, even with long-term rentals, you know, or when you're purchasing a house, it's like, wait, the fridge doesn't come with the house sometimes? I'm like, are you going to take the carpet? Like, so that's definitely, I think, a key difference between most Europeans and Americans. Europeans are about, you know, what is most, you know, efficient and convenient. And in America, we're like, well, but we want to keep it all. It's my fridge.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you don't have an elevator in a building, that makes some moving decisions for you, right? We hate moving so much that if you sell your property or you move out to a bigger place, you'll just leave your furniture there for the next person.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. All right. So with 44 units, you've got some challenges with kind of organization and keeping everything straight, I can imagine. I know Kelly's got 7, give or take, properties. I've got 10, give or take. And sometimes I feel like I'm losing my mind. And that's less than a quarter of what you have. So how do you keep all of your leads straight, particularly on Furnished Finder?
So we have our Our PMS now has a CRM section, so we can sort of track the leads, see that they're there. I mean, before that, it was just sort of a matter of following up, right? Sort of remembering to sort of follow up with them. Because sometimes it can take a few emails, maybe a follow-up call to kind of get that closed. But I think one of the most important things is responsiveness. How quickly can you get through to someone? And do you give them an option that they don't have to wait to hear back from you? Can they go to your website and just click and book immediately? Because not everybody wants to be handheld through the process. In fact, some people don't want to talk to anybody. You know, about half the population are introverts. So picking up the phone and talking to somebody is a nightmare for them.
For sure. And I'm going to give a little Furnish Finder tip here. So 44 listings, that's a lot to make sure that you're communicating correctly on Furnish Finder. So here's some tips. If you have more than one listing, well, we all know when a matched or unmatched tenant lead comes in or a message, a lot of times all you see is the PID number, the property identification number. What you can do is you can take that PID number and go plug it in on Furnish Finder to a map search, and it will show you which property it's communicating about. Hopefully in the long run, what will happen is you can just click on it and go to the property, or we'll have the property name associated in some way. But that's my tip of how I go about finding which property the tenant lead is matched to. And so one thing to keep in mind when it comes to tenant leads, this is someone that has sent in a direct message, not a direct message, sorry. They have sent in a general message, which is called a housing request. It pings every landlord in the city, and now we're all competing for this guest's business. It's an awesome opportunity that you don't have to wait for a lead to come to you. You can go after it and try to secure that business. The nice thing for the traveler is they don't have to spend a lot of time sending the same message over and over to different hosts. Now the properties are coming to them. But one thing that you want to make sure and do is you may be communicating about a different property than the one that was matched in that lead. So it's always good to put your property link from Furnish Finder in the body of the message, so there's no confusion on which property you're communicating about. Same for text messages or emails. So that's my little Furnish Finder tip. So Furnish Finder, Seb, I'm sure you're on multiple platforms, and Furnish Finder, I believe, ties into direct bookings for you. So how is your direct booking business going? And how does Furnish Finder tie into that, and any Furnish Finder tips?
Today's episode is proudly sponsored by Furnished Finder, the ultimate platform for hassle-free midterm rentals. Whether you're a seasoned landlord or just getting started, Furnished Finder has everything you need to find your next tenant. With Furnished Finder, you can say goodbye to booking fees, markups, and commissions, and hello to direct bookings. If you're ready to experience all the benefits renting your property for 30 days or more, head over to furnishedfinder.com, where you can list your property for one low annual price. We make it easy to get started.
Direct bookings are really important for us. They're about 55% of our business right now. They've been as high as 70% when we had less units to fill. And we see Furnish Finder as a way where we have more control versus working with an OTA. And what we found is that, particularly for shorter term rentals, people know where to look. But when they're in town for, say, a few weeks or a few months, they don't, you know, there still isn't a go-to platform in their mind. So often their searches are starting online, which is where they'll find places like Furnish Finder. And also, hopefully, they're going to find us. We've been putting more and more effort into our SEO, our search engine optimization, so that when somebody puts in, you know, monthly furnished rental Houston or extended stay Houston, we're going to, you know, come up hopefully a little bit higher. Or maybe they're thinking, more specifically, right? I've got an internship coming up and I need to find a place to stay. Or is it intern housing or law clerk housing? And we're trying to really hit, I guess, a lot of these different search terms that are associated to the reasons why people may be traveling to a city. And how we kind of get those ideas is actually by when people are doing our online check-in, we sort of ask them what brings you to town. And we get to learn about all these kind of cool reasons, things we never would have kind of thought of, I guess, ourselves.
Yep, for sure.
I think that's great. And I think that's something that everyone can remember is that Furnished Finder is not here trying to hoard your bookings on the platform so we can take a commission or a fee on top. We really want it to be the best for everyone. So it is, when we hear that people are taking these leads and making them into direct bookings, it's like music to our ears because you're getting to serve those tenants in the best way possible. So I think that's great. And what an amazing idea also to ask them what they're coming to the area for, so that you can then do some research on the back end and see, are there more travelers? How can I serve them? You know, it gives you an opportunity to not only serve that tenant better, but to do some research on the other side. Okay, so for step two, when people are ready to book, talk us through that process and how you try to make it as simple as possible for your travelers.
Yeah, so when we looked at some of our competitors, and so we consider our competitors, they're some of the big managed short-term rental chains, but there's also a lot of traditional corporate housing. These are some companies that maybe been around 20, 30, 40 years. And what we saw is that most of them, you can't even get a quote online, let alone make a booking. And their inquiry forms are really long and intrusive. What's your social security number, your income, attached reference letters, all of that before you even get a price, right? So the number one thing we wanted to do when we sort of redesigned our website is make it as easy as possible for people to get a quote and ideally to make a booking immediately. And not just make a booking, but not have it be that if you're booking for a 3-month internship in the summer, you know, now or in January, you don't have to pay, you know, $10,000 up front just to confirm the booking. So we've tried to reduce the different areas of friction that we found with some of our competitors. So you only need to make a small payment initially if you're booking months in advance to secure your deposit. But then we've sort of locked you in, right? That's it. They've not had to search elsewhere to get a quote. They're like, okay, this has been super easy. I've got it done. Bang. I'm not waiting for somebody to call me back during business hours. And that's another cool fact. We looked at, I can't remember the exact percentage right now, escapes me, but the percentage of bookings that were happening outside of traditional business hours, and basically the majority of bookings happen in the evening and at weekends when, you know, traditional companies, they're closed, right? So that's a really fascinating thing when you try to think about how your guest is their journey and adapt it to them rather than to what you're doing. I think that helps to get more bookings.
Yeah. And I think something that we have our tools for those of you that are just getting started or want to keep it very simple. Furnished Finder built KeyCheck, our sister company, to help you say, once someone says yes, now you have all the tools you need to have a successful stay. You've got tenant screening, state-specific leases, and rent payments that they can choose to pay by credit card or debit card or ACH transfer.
Let's move on and talk about some things that you do really well to differentiate yourself and your properties, because you are in a larger market, and sometimes it's a challenge to not get lost in the weeds, if you will, in those markets where there's a lot more inventory, but there's a lot more travelers. So you get the opportunity to really set yourself apart. So first thing I want to talk about is the interior design. All of your properties are absolutely beautiful. And I would love to talk about how you go about designing them, what features you focus on, and how you really make sure that your designs set you aside when someone might be scrolling and looking at different housing options.
Hey, landlords, are you ready to level up your rental game and simplify your midterm rental business? Well, get ready to meet your new best friend, KeyCheck. KeyCheck is your all-in-one solution for stress-free property management. With tenant-paid screenings, online rent payment processing, custom lease creation, and a suite of incredible landlord tools, you'll wonder how you ever lived without it. No more chasing down checks or sifting through piles of applications. KeyCheck helps you organize and manage all things landlording in a simple and efficient way. Make landlord life a breeze with KeyCheck, the game changer for modern property owners. Visit KeyCheck.com to unlock the power of stress-free property management and take your rental business to new heights.
Yeah, no, of course. And I'll probably take a second to explain why we've, you know, we decided to do this, why design is important. So a number of years ago, I was working for a large short-term rental operator, and they were doing a big redesign project for hundreds of units. And I was curious, you know, why are you doing this? Do you think it's going to make more money? And they said, yes. And I said, how much more money? And they couldn't answer that question. And it sort of frustrated me so much that when I was doing my master's thesis recently, I set out to answer that question. What is the value of good or great interior design versus average? And so we created these sort of online experiments where people would click different listings and everything else and came out with a figure. And the figure was actually much larger than I would have anticipated. So units that look better are more likely to get booked and will be booked more often. And so there you go. It sounds obvious. Nicer units are more likely to get booked if the photos are nicer. But then how do you create that, and how do you create that sort of economically? So when we come into the design process, usually we're looking at the sort of building itself and the clientele that we think it's going to attract. So we work on this midtown building that has a lot of bars and restaurants nearby and entertainment. The vibe is a bit more, I guess, a little bit more cool, a little bit more young. So we've tried to incorporate something that sort of fits into the ethos of that building and that sort of crowd. And then we have another building that is right by MD Anderson Cancer Center in the Texas Medical Center that attracts a more elderly clientele who's there for sort of treatment. So the design, I guess, is a bit more muted, a bit more traditional. But we've also looked at incorporating things like recliners and things like that that may be better suited for that audience when they're sort of recuperating. So that's the first bit, is understanding who is going to be sort of in the apartment. And there are essentially three sets of purchases that we make. There's the furniture and decor, and that's usually specific either to that apartment or to that floor plan that we're working with. Then there's the homewares and technology that are usually in every single apartment. You know, we're not buying a different coffee machine for every apartment. We'll try to find one that we like, and then we'll sort of generally reuse that. And then there's the consumables, the things that you restock every time. You know, your toilet paper, your toiletries, all those kinds of things. And altogether, that's about 150 purchasing decisions that we have to make for every single apartment. And every dollar that you sort of spend here is a dollar that you can't spend there. So I guess through a lot of trial and error, ultimately, we're trying to optimize how many dollars we allocate for, you know, for each of those sort of purchases. And we've been learning a lot of things about sort of wear and tear. But essentially, we want, in terms of our design principles, the place should look great, right? So it should photograph really well in the photos. But it should also be comfortable, because sometimes design isn't comfortable and it may not be practical, which is the other thing. So small things like, can you charge your cell phone by the bed when you go to sleep? Is there a place to do that? Is there a place to put your glass of water, your bottle of water? All the different sort of things that, I guess, when you stay in a place, you don't think about it. I think that great design is sort of effortless if from the user experience. You don't have to think, because everything is just where you expect it, you know, there and then. And the other big thing, of course, for us is, can we do it on budget? It's very easy to spend a lot of money with interior design. It's far more difficult to do it on a budget that makes sense, where you're getting a good ROI from your purchasing decisions.
So what are some of the tips you have to stay within budget? Because like you said, it is very easy. I mean, if I had an unlimited budget, I could make a really, really cute place.
Yeah.
But I know that, you know, when we're in the game of real estate investing, that's not a term we know, which is unlimited budget. And we're all trying to be conscientious of that. So this might be a good roundtable, even is like, we all give a few tips of how we've found good furnishings at good budgets.
So a lot of the projects that we've done have ended up being fairly sort of last minute projects, in the sense we've had, you know, you might spend months negotiating something and then you're like, okay, let's get going as soon as possible. How quickly can you set it up? So we're usually working with fast furniture retailer types, people that can get something shipped to you within a week or 2 weeks max. So that already narrows the field, I guess, quite a bit into which retailers you can kind of work with. And from that, you know, there's been a little bit of trial and error, you know, how much do we spend on a sofa? How much do we spend on an armchair and a lamp? And we've sort of found that there are some items where you can get some really good stables that are good value. You don't need to spend $200 on a table lamp, maybe. Maybe there's one for $50 that aesthetically looks very similar. So then you can put some of that budget somewhere else. We found there are some areas where some objects wear really fast, like rugs, even with regular cleaning, really hard to get more than a few years out of them. Whereas something like a bed frame is likely to last a very long time. A couch can last quite long sometimes, but not always. So we're still trying to figure it out, if I'm going to be really honest. Sometimes sure. we've spent too much. Sometimes we've maybe gone a little bit too cheap and we sort of regret that. I think a great tip is if you have the storage space and the capital, it's great to shop when prices are cheap. So we've just gone through a Black Friday sale. So that's a good time to buy things. There are a number of tools out there that you can use that will track prices on different websites. So we're getting email notifications when some items have a price drop. So, you know, you may see a sofa that is $800 right now online, but you could potentially get that sofa for $500, $300, or maybe even $300, depending on which website you buy it and when. So the cost that you see isn't necessarily the price that you can get it at if you shop around. So that's once you start to sort of learn how some of the retailers are buying things in bulk, you know, that sofa may appear on six different websites but have different names and things like that. So you can use Google to sort of match, find other places that sell it, and then track all the different prices and see when it comes down somewhere. So we've gotten some amazing deals in that way.
I love that. I've got some things to build upon on that. The apps, I use Google Chrome and I use the Honey plugin, and that will
we
track
have that one.
Prices like you said. Yep. Yeah. And Rakuten, I don't know if that's how you pronounce it, but sure. they have cash back on a lot of stuff and those are variable. So like for instance, right now on my Rakuten, I can get 6% cash back on Walmart. And it's free. And then every quarter, they just send you a check, like a physical check in the mail. And they have, so you can stack those. And then Black Friday, my mom's garage is our inventory storage. My poor mom, yep. She texted me the other day. She goes, I'm sorry, did you order 6 sets of towels? And like a set of towel was like 8 towels. And I was like, yeah, I'm so sorry. I didn't want to tell you in advance because I knew you'd get mad at me. So she like... but then like we have a spreadsheet where she tracks, you know, here's everything we have. So when we have the next unit, I'm just going to go like pluck that and pluck that. The other tip I have based on what you said is Google just added, I don't know if they just added it new or made it easier to access, but let's say you're shopping on a website and you see a couch you really like, you can right click on the image and directly it'll say like Google search this image. And then if you click shopping, a lot of times you can find that exact same product at a different retailer for a drastically different price. There's a lot of these manufacturers of furniture that they sell their furniture to these retailers and they white label it, right? So they'll put their own brand name on it, but it's the same thing. So we're in the works of furnishing 2 units right now, and that's been really, really helpful. I'll find a dresser that I like, for example, and then you can just do a quick check and I can be like, oh, actually, if I go over here, I can buy it for cheaper. I used this trick and I had these nightstands I found, and then I actually found them for sale at a regional hardware store of all places, and they were $20 each. And on the other sites, they wanted like $85 each. So using your technology is clutch. It's awesome.
I like to first think, okay, rather than reinventing the wheel, what have all my properties collected potentially that can be taken away at each cleaning and put into that inventory stocking area? Now you don't even have to go buy a new product. You already have the excess from your other rentals that you can pull from for a new rental. That's one tip.
I like your thinking, Seb, with use kind of the technology, the tracking, and, you know, Black Friday, Cyber Monday, New Year's sales, like stock up if you know you're going to use it.
There's always a sale, is what I've discovered. Like always someone is running a sale, right? It's like, okay, well, now we're about to run into Christmas sales, right? The pre-Christmas sale, then the January sales, and then, yeah. So But if you can, you know, if you can buy when you're not under duress, so to speak, up against a timeline, it's, I mean, we've gotten some amazing, amazing deals in the past. So yeah, I also have a garage full of extras and pieces waiting to be deployed.
We'll have to have an episode on decluttering, it sounds like.
Yes, more units. That's always the answer.
Yeah.
And probably one of the biggest tips I'd say for us is when we're designing, we're looking at the floor plans and we start to imagine what are the listings photos going to be like. So we're sort of even sometimes taking pictures of the empty space, or we'll take a Matterport virtual tour of the empty space if we really want to be able to kind of visualize it. And we're looking, okay, that's going to be that photo. And we're sort of almost then painting, okay, there's the couch. Okay, what art do we need? And we're looking at, okay, what are the big impact photos? So sometimes we'll do things, you know, there'll be like a long corridor between bedrooms or something, like, well, we don't really need to spend any money on that necessarily because it's not going to be in any photos. So we'll save that money and put it elsewhere. And I think probably one of the areas where we spend the most money as a percentage of a budget compared to other hosts, I'd say, is in the artwork that we put up, artwork and decor, because that makes a big difference in the photos. You can sort of really see that. And you'll see a lot of listings where they've gone for the minimum. Okay, I know I need a little piece of art behind, but it'll be like, I don't know, two little tiny pieces above a big couch. Whereas we're going bigger and bigger with our art. And we've just found a new supplier actually that can do something like, you know, 6 feet by like 4 feet kind of pieces. Like they have to assemble them. It's a canvas, but like it's actually, pretty amazing how big the pieces you can get are. So,
I mean, it definitely stands out when I look at your listings. Guys, check the show notes on audio and YouTube. Seb's listings are amazing. So go check it out and really enjoy looking at the design pieces. And I see exactly what you're saying about the artwork. So let's wrap up like kind of the design conversation with marketing tips. How do you make sure and capture the right things in your photography? How, like headlines, how are you drawing people in to make sure you secure that booking?
Yeah, so I guess, like a lot of people, we're starting to use tools like ChatGPT and a few others for some of that creative inspiration. We do have a lot of listings that are in the same building. So we try not to reinvent the wheel in terms of sort of the content right now. We even to the point where we had a spreadsheet that would pull the different parameters of the units and then create the text in one go. One of the big early marketing decisions that we did was actually around our brand name. So that if someone is on a OTA site and they think, oh, the service fee is really expensive, can I find them online? So our brand name Lodger is a made up word. It combines the English and the French words, for a lodger and a person who provides lodging. Like me, it's half English and half French. That was great. And the domain was available. It was $12. Because it's a made up word, we can trademark it. And when you put it into Google, when we first found it, there was nothing coming up for that word. So we immediately had a number one position on Google, and that makes it a lot easier. Sometimes I've found a place and I want to try and book direct, but I can't find the host because it's such a generic name. So really think about that. If you want to drive direct traffic, how quickly can somebody find you? And so that's a big tip out of that. And then I guess in terms of, we have some, I guess, internal brand guidelines that we have about our sort of personality, that we are as a brand. And one of the big things that I found sort of as a traveler that were frustrating in the early days of short-term rentals was how long it would take for some host to respond to you, particularly when you're trying to book and it's last minute. So we try to respond to, you know, critical messages within less than 5 minutes. So particularly, you know, if someone has a problem checking in, for example, or maybe they want to book a last minute booking, hey, is this available? I'm about to land or something like that. Making sure that you're available. And to me, that service piece is a core part of your marketing, because then it's also going to come into your reviews and ratings, right?
For sure. Seb, technology is also a very large part. So what are those ways that you differentiate your larger business with the technology?
Well, we're still trying to, I guess, find the perfect tech stack for our business, and we've gone through quite a few iterations. So where we are now is very different to how where we started, when a lot more things used to be manual. So our screening, for example, used to be manual. We'd ask the guests to send their ID, we'd be chasing them, and sometimes the check-in details would be sent to somebody before they'd been screened. Now we use, for example, Now we use a tool that's called AutoHost, and essentially, once someone books, they get a confirmation and they have a link to do an online check-in. And there they can upload their ID, there's a selfie check, and there's a few marketing questions that we can put into there. And the system can usually pre-approve or not, depending on the criteria. But somebody will never receive a code to the property until they've been either automatically verified or it's been approved by us. So that's fantastic. It's also going to chase the guest automatically, but it won't chase them if it's been done. And all of that used to be done completely manually. You know, we'd take the ID once we had it, we'd put it into one system, then put it into another, and it took a lot of time. So that has been sort of a life changer for us, that system. Of course, a PMS is once you have multiple units and you're trying to manage your calendar in a lot of places, that's kind of a critical part. We've been through, just with this business, three different PMSs. And I think it's a very personal decision. So I'm not going to say this is the best one because it's got to be the best for your business. And you're not always quite going to know. There's a lot of trial and error involved in finding the right PMS for you and your operations, because everybody runs their business differently, I think, ultimately. What we found is that some of the things that you don't think about immediately, like the accounting side and the bookkeeping, became bigger and bigger headaches as we went on. So that became more of a priority for us down the line, was to make sure we had the right tools to make that part a lot easier on the back end, you know, come year end and everything else. So yeah, every situation is different. You're going to have different, the challenge is that there's so much technology out there that you can use for every single part of your business. The challenge is, one, will it connect well and play well with each other? And two, how expensive is it going to be to have all these different subscriptions? So we're automatically, every new piece of tech that we get, we're thinking, okay, multiply this by 50 times 12. And you're like, okay, just to implement this is going to cost us this many thousands or tens of thousands of dollars a year. So it gets pretty scary pretty quickly when you look at it like that.
Yeah, I think what's important is that no matter what technology you use or what system you use, is that you are using something that works for you, makes sense in your head. Because I know softwares, at least in my experience, and this goes for all types of softwares, especially when it comes to softwares that are meant to help you organize, they can either feel very intuitive or very, very not. And what doesn't feel intuitive to you can feel very intuitive to someone else. But also keeping it as simple as you can, right? Like, you have a lot of listings and a lot of properties, so you're going to need something very sophisticated. For users that have one or two or three properties, the tenant tracker, which is very simplistic within the Furnish Finder dashboard, that might do it, right? That might be all you need. So don't overcomplicate things until you get to the level where you're like, okay, I need more advanced systems. Because a lot of times there are kind of low-hanging fruit solutions like the tenant tracker that would work well if you just have the handful of properties.
Speaking of tenant tracking, we will take a brief moment to educate you on Furnish Finder's tenant tracking tool. This is host Kelly Bailey with 7 Midterm Rental Doors. 99% of my guests come from Furnish Finder. I love the tenant tracking tool because it allows me to stay organized on the platform I use most. The tool will prompt you to track around 10 important items: the guest name, email, phone number, any additional guests staying at the home, which property they will be staying in, dates of stay, monthly rental rate and due date, when the tenant screening and lease was signed, and when and how the move-in fees were paid. In addition, there is a note section for you to customize those specific details you like to track. For my properties, that would be pet status, pet's name, whether they plan to move out on the date communicated, or if there's a chance they will extend. I like to give our current guests first right of refusal before renting to anyone else. Tenant tracking can be found in your dashboard under Landlord Tools, tenant tracking. Back to the show.
Yeah, it's definitely something that any type of tracking, PMS, all these types of softwares, you're right, there are endless possibilities out there, but make sure you use something that works well for what you need, including the budget, because they can get expensive.
Definitely. That's great advice. You don't always need technology. Sometimes pen and paper, you know, for a number of years, my parents had pen and paper as their kind of main calendar just to keep it safe. And they had it in a system also afterwards. But, you know, if you can do the process by a simple process like that, that saves you money. I think a process is more important than the software. If you have a good process, that trumps a fancy sure. piece of software. Software should make the existing process simpler.
I think my last question for our episode, and Katie, I'll let you wrap us up, is combined in that last factor of technology is risk management. I believe you're an ex-banker. You've spent a lot of time in the, you know, fighting financial crime. And we as Furnish Finder, it's extremely important to us that both the hosts and the guests are safe and understand that, you know, there are, I can't think of the word right now, scammers, that there are scammers out yeah. there. And so we educate you on our resource tab of how, from a traveler and a host perspective, to avoid scams. So how risk management is something that you set yourself apart in. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I spent a number of years working on financial crime. So what that means is how could the banks prevent bad actors from using the financial system? And a lot of that is around what's called Know Your Customer, KYC. So in this instance, who is the person who's going to be staying in their property? Are they really who they say they are? And you'll probably know that on OTAs like Airbnb, for example, you could put in Mickey Mouse as your name and it'll come through, right? So what is, you know, even if they've had their identity verified, they can change the name afterwards. So I would say always check for ID. It's amazing how many people aren't checking the ID of their guests. So always make sure that at a minimum, you're sort of doing that. And depending on how you take payments, the payment tools can often have certain security features built in. So make sure that you're sort of leveraging those features to try and, again, prevent crime. I would say, you know, we work only with credit card payments. So we're not taking things like checks or other things. Just we don't even want to get involved or cash or other things like that. So usually there's less payment fraud on a midterm rental because there's a lot more risk to them if they pay on a credit card and then say they're going to stay a month. Well, usually there's going to be a chargeback within, you know, a few days or a week or two. So it's very high risk to then be caught in the property. It can still happen, unfortunately, but the risk is sort of lower. So I found it useful to join different sort of Facebook groups to see what's sort of happening. You know, what are some of the trends? What are some of the scams to sort of look for? And it's for us, it's a little bit easier in the sense that we have a bit more scale. We have a lot more properties. So if, you know, if we have a booking that's fraudulent, for example, we're not going to miss a mortgage payment because actually that payment bounced. So I understand it can be, it's a lot more personal when if it's your property and someone abuses it. So that's, I guess, say on the screening side. So we have a four-step process essentially to try and reduce our risk. The first bit is around deterring the wrong kind of actors. So that's how you set up your listing. Do you say things like, we're going to check your ID, we're going to run a background check. We're already positioning ourselves not as an easy target as a professional operator. The next bit is a screening, so checking the IDs. The next bit then is in terms of securing the property. So I mentioned earlier that we have codes that are only released to people once they've been screened. So things like that. The people that we use have also been screened. We have our own team and things like that. And then finally, for the property itself, are you monitoring it? So there are tools that are actually quite economical for doing things like noise monitoring, tobacco smoke monitoring. So we have a case study that's on the website for Minit, which is one of those sort of providers. And that gives you, to me, that one of our biggest surprises was the peace of mind that it gave us, because we realized actually our guests are super quiet. So, and then it gives us the data. So if there ever is a complaint, we have the data to say, look, it kind of been our guess, because these are the noise levels that we're tracking from that unit. And actually some of the our property partners have been blown away by the sort of the data that we do have to say, look, it's we know that we have great guests and we can prove it because we track these things.
That's a great tool. I think I'm going to add in from Furnish Finder that the on the landlord side, when you look at the resource tab and you go to avoiding scams, some of the things that we want to make sure you're aware of is like the overpay tactic or asking for any money transfer to the tenant, mismatch emails between accounts, poor spelling or grammar, things like that. And then our sister site, KeyCheck, of course, is your first step for the screening process. And if they're asking to skip part of the screening process, well, that's a red flag right there. So those are some things to be aware of that you can read in more detail on Furnish Finder under the resource tab.
I think from, and even just from a guest perspective, we try to position, you know, we position ourselves as a professional operator. You know, we're a branded operator. We, on our own website, we try to build as many trust signals as we can. So we talk about the number of guests that we've hosted. There's access to the, I think we've had something like 1,500 reviews that have been left so far with guests. So we're sort of highlighting those things. We're not a fly-by-night operator. We're part of a community that we sort of operate in. You can trust us versus an individual. So I guess the question is, if you are an individual, again, how can you create that trust? Have you filled in your profile page? Is there a photo? Like, do they feel like you're a real person, not a scammer, right? And again, it's the first steps, but I wouldn't book from someone that has not put any information about themselves or anything else, right? There's a lot more risk when you're booking with an individual and you know nothing about them, so...
I think the common thread that I'm seeing between everything you're doing, Seb, is you're doing everything very well. You're doing everything high quality. You're thinking about things from a lot of different perspectives, right? How is this going to protect me as a landlord? And also, how is this going to make a tenant feel safe? And, you know, how is this going to prevent me from being exposed to scams? And also, how is this going to be easy for a tenant to process? So I think that's like the common thread I'm taking with everything that you're talking about, whether it be from design, it's like, let's make it high quality, but simple and scalable, because you have scaled to a really high number very quickly, but you haven't sacrificed that quality or that thoughtfulness. So I think that's, you know, if there's any kind of common thread between every topic we've talked about today, is just that there's the power of being intentional and thoughtful with everything you put together in your midterm rental business. It can make a really, really big difference. And I think that, you know, has probably been one of the keys to you being able to scale so quickly and then still maintain that quality. So I would encourage any listeners out there, if there's anything that you think you can be a little bit more thoughtful about or a little bit more intentional about, or just slow down and get it right before you push on the gas, that could serve you very well.
And it takes time. You know, I still don't feel like we've got everything right. So, you know, small continuous improvements are kind of critical. You just keep improving and keep listening to customer feedback, you know, log the complaints that they have or things that are breaking down and think, okay, how can I prevent this from happening again in the future? So yeah.
I love it. Well, it was so good to talk with you. We loved hearing all of your advice, all of the little details that you've thought through, all of your processes. And I think everyone's going to be so impressed to hear your story and how you have scaled so big, so quickly in such a creative way that I think is, you know, the management model is maybe a little bit underutilized. So I think that you've used such creativity, and it's kind of a refreshing viewpoint. So thanks so much for being with us. We can't wait to keep in contact and see, you know, which 44 units you get next.
Yeah, no, thank you. Yeah, same here. I'm a big fan of the show myself. I, you know, listen to it when I'm taking the dog for a walk and so on. So yeah, thank you.
Thanks
so much.
Everyone have a great week. And don't forget, please subscribe, comment, or like wherever you get your podcasts. See you Monday.